This is Wagner Live. If it's going on in business, he's talking about it. Real, raw, and direct. Let's do it.
This is Wagner Live, and this is Wagner Dos Santos.
I'm your host, Wagner Dos Santos, and this is Wagner Live, episode 103. This episode is brought to you by The Wagner Agency, and you can learn more at thewagner.agency. And on this show, we review what's trending in the world of business and marketing. And today, I have the privilege of sharing this show with none other than, I believe it's pronounced String Nguyen. And Nguyen. Yes, String Nguyen. Okay. So String Nguyen, who for the last 3 years has been pioneering videos on social media. Recently, she was recognized as a top voice on LinkedIn and nominated for 30 Under 30 Forbes Asia. And she produced the award-winning Snapchat channel Women in Tech and amassed over 350 interviews with entrepreneurs and startup founders like Gary Vaynerchuk, Holly Liu, and Hugh Forrest from South by Southwest. And I am very happy and proud to bring String onto the show. Hello, String. How are you?
Hey, from the future. I'm in Sydney right now.
Yes, you are. And is it 12 hours in the future?
Yes.
Yeah.
It is. Like, it's 9 o'clock, around 10 o'clock around my time.
Okay. Yep. Well, and so it's 8 p.m. here. So maybe a little bit more in the future, 13 hours in the future, I suppose. So
I'm terrible in numbers, but
who's counting, you know? Well, so you're very peppy for the morning. I'm not a morning person.
No matter where I travel around the world, I always seem to, my body clock always wake up at around 7 o'clock.
Really?
In the morning. Yeah.
9 o'clock or 10 o'clock?
7 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, 7 o'clock. Okay. Wow, really?
In the dark, with no alarm clock.
No kidding. And you travel around a little bit, right? So you've been in a lot of different time zones.
I just came back from Hong Kong.
Did you really?
This morning.
So what were you doing in Hong Kong? If you don't mind me asking.
Checking out the startup scene and like talking to a few influencer marketers agencies as well.
Oh, that's great. Well, tell my audience a little bit about you. I discovered you on the interwebs, and you're very active on LinkedIn, and I'm sure we're going to talk about LinkedIn video as well, and how you've really kind of put a stake in the ground there. But tell my audience a little bit about your background.
Is it all right if I ask, like, what kind of audience do you have?
Yeah, of course it is. So there's a mix of business, startup businesses to established businesses to marketing and advertising people. So it's a mix of those kind of people, but generally business and marketing geeks like us.
Okay, cool. So Wagner found me on Tara Hunt's like interview on YouTube one, and then he reached out to me and asked me to jump on his podcast. So I'm thankful for being invited. The best way to describe me is like I do two things really well. I create content. I'm known to growth hack social video platforms like LinkedIn. When LinkedIn literally first started, I went from 900, but I haven't used LinkedIn for 10 years. 0. 900 to 25,000 followers and organically in a year. And it's all due to me being a beta user for LinkedIn. So my first video went viral. And since then, I kind of doubled down. So I've known to get invited to a lot of video platforms and to find out how to use it to leverage social. Because a lot of people, video is something that a lot of people don't do properly yet. And B2B content is super boring. So what I realize is I stand out a lot by providing interesting candy content, but provide a lot of substance and value as well.
That's great. You know, and that's interesting. You mentioned B2B being boring, because I'm sure you've figured out how to make it not boring. But a lot of people do approach it, especially those that are doing it in-house, and they think, well, I'm in a B2B business. I don't have anything exciting to talk about. What am I going to talk about? My new machine that I just brought in. But they forget that they have a story to tell too. What inspires them, right?
Yeah, I think so, but it had to be a combination of like, is this a tool that a lot of people want to use? So how can you teach people how to use it? But then don't forget that you have personalities too, because people want to connect with you as a person. So if you like swear a little bit, and if people if your clients get put off by that, or prospects get put off by you just swearing, then you're not going to jail anyway. So you're better off like being yourself on camera than hiding to be something else, because, you know, putting a facade, that's a lot of emotional taxing onto you. So you may as well just be yourself when you create camera. But how can you do it and share your energy in a way that allows people to say, "Here, I want to work with this person."
Right, right, absolutely. And how about, so what are you seeing with video lately? So you kind of touched upon it. What are you seeing with live streaming video or pre-recorded content?
So, well, the secret to live streaming content is like, how do you make it rewatchable afterwards? So one of the reasons why I hate editing, truthfully, I didn't have an editing team behind me, but one of the reasons why I was able to have a lot of people like go to conferences and do these like short form live stream videos, so it felt like they were a part of there, and because I asked like super good questions and felt like and made the speaker or interviewee like enjoy themselves, they were able to give me some really awesome questions, so these 5-minute bite videos became rewatchable afterwards. So that's like the secret of like how I've been able to like push out 350 interviews in the last couple of years.
That's fantastic. And you're enjoying LinkedIn as a video platform more or less than others?
Well, like one of the reasons why I was able to jump on from Snapchat to LinkedIn, I was actually like me playing around with Snapchat for 6 months, kind of showed that it was really hard to monetize. Mm-hmm. Really hard. To the point because like a lot of businesses don't see the ROI or felt like they couldn't invest in it and get good returns because they wouldn't have it targeting millennials.
Right.
But whereas like Facebook Live, they depending on your network, it's still very closed. But with LinkedIn, because it's organic reach, that you could start monetizing within one video.
Hmm. Now talk about that a little bit if you don't mind. When you're talking about monetizing and gaining ROI, what does that mean to you, or what could that mean to the audience?
I want to also refer to my fried chicken reference, but that's
yes.
Personal branding.
Yes.
So it's like I'm known for my I'm really known for my fried chicken. Every time you go see fried chicken, you go, "Think of me." It's like every time you eat KFC or see Colonel Sanders, you go, "Think of me." Because I organize fried chicken. And that ROI, in terms of personal branding, was like, how many fried chicken stories do I get per day? Like in terms of people sending me fried chicken stories, tagging me in fried chicken things. And I get an average about 2 or 3 per day around the world. That's like a top of mind marketing, right? So that's a good KPI or ROI in terms of the more I talk about fried chicken, the more that people like my tribe or like people who love me want to like connect with me, will send me a fried chicken story to say, "Hey, I've been thinking about you. Don't know what you do, but I've been thinking about you."
That's
good.
I was going to ask you about that, so I'm glad you brought it up because I did see the drumsticks and more drumsticks than I think wings, but I saw a lot of drumsticks around your head and I knew there's a story there.
So the personal branding wise, in terms of visual branding, fried chicken has been one of the things where I realized that top of mind marketing is something that we should do when it comes to personal branding. But when it comes to video, a good ROI is like, how good is your call to action where people actually respond to the call to action? Mm-hmm. I know this one person, every video for her is a potential 10K lead.
Mm, really?
So yeah, because like, because wow. I go for down her funnel and she does high executive coaching. So for her, that's a 10K lead potential.
That's fantastic.
Whereas, so like you could like monetize in a way that has to directly correlate to the product and services that you provide.
Right. Very interesting. So, do you work with clients specifically on that?
Well, lately, what I noticed in the influencer marketing space is there's a lot of ego happening in the space,
mm-hmm.
and a lot of like people like calling themselves coaches or specialists or something like that, when really they just started off doing this and became super popular using video on LinkedIn, which is like great, but don't call yourself like a, I don't know how to call it, like a expert in something that you've only been doing for 6 months.
Right, right. You know, it's a pet peeve of mine. In fact, previous episodes, I think last year or so, I went on a rant about these so-called experts, and that now, because of live streaming, they get on live video and they're like, I'm going to teach you how to do all of this stuff and blah, 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 blah. And they're acting out Grant Cardone or you know, Anthony... what's his name?
Whatever.
Yeah. So whatever it is, just add the name.
It doesn't really matter, because like at the end of the day, I find that video, you can't hide your personality, but like I've been doing this like for 4 years now, and I was able to grow a following just because I've been able to be consistent with my messaging and my branding for the last 4 years. Right. So it's like also like longevity game. You're up to 103 videos now with this one. And you probably go to another 100 more, just because that's what you believe, at least another 100 more. Right. And sometimes you just have to wait for these experts to die down, because they can't sustain it anyway.
No, they can. It's interesting, because when I started live streaming some years ago, and then started to see everybody jump on the bandwagon, I saw a lot of these people preaching to other people instead of just having fun. And then I started, of course, looking at their LinkedIn profile, because I thought, all right, let me see what their background is. And then I see that, you know, they did nothing before and went right to coaching. And I thought, come on. How can you coach if you've had no experience? You know, leading the blind.
So it's like, how do you like become like a business expert or a business coach when you haven't had a successful business beforehand?
Exactly. Yep.
And a lot of people, but the thing is, like, I guess they sell their vision so well that the people are willing to buy that vision.
Right. Yeah, you're absolutely right. I think because some people, they're very convincing, and they're really good talkers, right? Just like a used car salesman. They can sell you anything.
So that's the kind of the power of the internet, I guess. It's like this pros and cons, because you and I could like probably rant about this for ages. Yeah, I could tell that we could like rant on that.
Absolutely. We're going to have a whole nother episode just about this. All right. So I'm going to move on to some of the topics that are bubbling up, and I'd love to hear your opinion. One of them, I don't know if you heard, is Dunkin' Donuts, right? They're going to go to Dunkin'. And this was probably a long time coming. And so the execs have said that they're not afraid of the backlash, and as they move into Dunkin', and they said that they saw an overwhelmingly positive reaction to the new name, and they tested roughly 50 stores to gauge their customers' reactions. I think it's great. It's I think it's interesting, because it teaches us about the evolution of a name, that for a long time people have been just calling it Dunkin', right? And so now the brand has decided, okay, well, we're going to call it Dunkin'. I think a while back, McDonald's was close to changing their names to Mickey D's, because everybody, I don't know about out there in Australia, but here they were calling it Mickey D's.
We call it Macca's, yeah. I think McDonald's should say McDonald's.
I think so too.
But Dunkin', like, I actually think it makes sense, because then that probably means like I expand out to other products and services. Like, you know, that just shows the evolution of the name.
Yes.
And it's not something that they did suddenly, because they probably noticed that everyone calls it Dunkin' anyway.
Exactly. And you're right that you made a good point, that this opens them up to having, I don't know, Dunkin' Foods and Dunkin' whatever, right? So they can really branch out now beyond the name Donuts, which was somewhat limiting. And a lot of, I don't know about out there, but a lot of people love their coffee. I'm not a coffee drinker.
Really, I have to try the coffee next time and read it. But it kind of shows like that they want to like expand to like other business opportunities to sustain themselves, because it's like a really strong brand itself already.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, also, Instagram has been big in the news. First topic for Instagram is IGTV. So IGTV has experienced some issues, which, you know, not very different than what Snapchat experienced in the beginning, where people were putting up some lewd and, you know, sexually explicit stuff. And so IGTV has now recognized that there have been some what they call disturbing videos, and they're trying to figure out what to do in the algorithms. But have you played around with IGTV much, or what's your thought on that?
Like, we've been in the live industry game for a while, and this is to be expected that people will do dumb shit.
Exactly.
And then it was like, oh, whoa, we didn't expect our like community like to do this because like people are dumb, but people will do dumb shit for attention.
So String, it's like, String, I'm gonna use that as a quote. String says people will do dumb shit. End quote.
For attention.
Like, oh, for attention. That. Yes, for attention.
Exactly. Quote. Yes. But they really do, and like how is like and when we're in the attention economy game. Same expecting people not to do like for stuff like, you know, pranks, you know, show nudity, doing something to catch attention and talk about it is something that like is part of like the attention evolution and stuff. But I guess like what they need to do is like start using like AI pattern recognitions to spot unusual behaviors. But that means like bananas is going to recognize for something else as well. Like
I can't imagine what, but yes, I think that's probably
like,
possible.
The visual of like if you go banana, you probably just do like a certain habit.
Right. I know it'll make you think of an apple. I think that's what you mean. Right? Yes, exactly.
Okay. Anyway, but I do think IG has like a unusual because they have like such like so many attention. Yeah. They're probably in an unusual position where they can use all this like video to use AI to do pattern recognition really well.
Right.
But I do think IGTV is like actually going away from the habits of short form content to long form content. So that's for me is like how they go transition that from short to long form.
Yeah, yeah. I think they're going even longer form than where they started. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, because like the maximum was 1 minute, and Instagram stories kind of show that people is like are willing to watch something for 3 minutes if they like that person.
Right. Right. Yeah, that's interesting because I know that when you look at other apps like TikTok, right? And you're familiar, right? I'm sure with TikTok and stuff like that. And
yeah, Musically switched over to TikTok. Yeah,
right. They merged. So it's interesting because you look at a lot of those and other video social networking apps that all the quote unquote kids are going to now when they flocked away from where their parents were, and it's interesting to see that they'll be on there for you know a long time just watching nonsense. So I would imagine that kind of content on IGTV could be successful, but maybe the more serious content, like even a discussion like this, I don't know, but maybe. I mean, maybe they'll watch it for a long length of time. Maybe they'll be bored after a while.
Well, I think with TikTok, because it's such a young demographic, you can't put any heavy B2B content onto that. Whereas right. IGTV, because people do start to like talk about personal branding on there, you know, coaching and selling $1 million dream and stuff. So they does really do well in terms of business talk, especially if you're like building up your personal brand. So I do feel like IGTV has some long leeway to do it, but I think it's going to be another year before we know if it's going to successfully transition or not.
Well, it's interesting. I'm kind of curious to see where it goes, and we haven't we've created our channels, but we haven't done anything yet. So we're kind of figuring out what we want to do, if we want to do something different on the channels or what before we jump in, you know.
Well, like algorithm wise, like IG, like live is doing better than IGTV. I haven't figured out how IGTV is like putting the content on in terms of algorithms yet, in terms of some discovery.
You're wondering how they're doing it, or
they're not.
Or they're not doing it. Yeah.
I haven't figured it out yet. It means like they're still figuring out how to like put the content into the form and stuff.
Gotcha.
It's like developing new habits.
Yes. Yeah. And that's a big thing, I think, with a lot of this, streaming content out there. And you look at like Facebook Watch, for example, and, you know, a lot of other creators aren't able to get in there. And then Facebook Live, where it is open to a mass group, the discovery is just not there for new creators to be found. I remember at one point when Facebook Live launched, you looked at the map and you saw everything but your stuff. and it made you wonder, like, you know, how is anybody going to find out about me, you know?
Actually, word of mouth usually, because, like, that's what happens. But I feel like LinkedIn videos got a better leverage in terms of B2B content. But I do hope the user experience, like, they don't even have a playlist. That's what bothers me. That's one of the things that I don't, you know, they should at least have like a video playlist somewhat.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I kind of agree with that as well. Well, also, you probably heard some of the tensions between Instagram founders and Facebook. So the two founders have walked out. if you will.
Yes. Well, they probably found something different then. Like, why would they walk out in the first place? They must have, like, found or, like, brewing another idea in the first place. Because I want to know, like, because when you think about it, we haven't found an interesting social network for the last 3 years, or at least, like, so that means, like, has the end of social media has ended? Mm. Or are they moving on to something more interesting thing? So that's what I want to see.
All right. So to that point, I don't know if you've read this, but I'm gonna read this for our podcast listeners. This was the farewell note that was written by one of the partners to Facebook. And it's not too long. I'll read this. It says, Mike and I are grateful for the last 8 years at Instagram and 6 years with the Facebook team. We've grown from from 13 people to over 1,000 with offices around the world, all while building products used and loved by a community of over 1 billion. We're now ready for our next chapter. We're planning on taking some time off to explore our curiosity and creativity again. Building new things requires that we step back, understand what inspires us, and match that with what the world needs. That's what we plan to do. We remain excited for the future of Instagram and Facebook in the coming years as we transition from leaders to 2 users in a billion. We look forward to watching what these innovative and extraordinary companies do next. Kevin Systrom. So
there you go.
Right? That's what you were saying. He very conveniently or carefully suggested that they're going off to their new venture, right?
Pretty much. Like, why would else would they like leave a $1 billion startup or something?
Right. And it makes you wonder.
Like, got really bored.
Yeah, and it makes you wonder too, because sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you. It makes you wonder why Facebook didn't provide them that outlet to do that, right?
No, they probably, who knows? But all I know is that they got the capital now, so they've probably got something else involved.
Yeah, but I know that, for example, Richard Branson from Virgin, his model for his company has always been that he wants what he calls entrepreneurs. He wants all these people to have entrepreneurial ventures within his company, and he wants to, he wants to give them all the resources they need to do what they want to do. And for the most part, that keeps them there building under the Virgin name. And sometimes they build and they move elsewhere, and he's okay with that too.
I like his model, because it kind of shows that he's got a growth mindset. He doesn't want to like stranglehold them, and he doesn't squish creativity that needs to be squished. Right. And that kind of shows like the mindset of the company more than anything else, and the mindset of Richard Branson, because I met one of his employees, and he's like, oh, he's definitely an entrepreneur, but he works for Richard Branson. Like,
yes.
Like how that he really believed in his philosophy, and they really lived that philosophy as well.
I agree. Yeah, I knew people back when I was in the music business many years ago. I knew a few people that worked for Virgin Records, and they said the same thing about Richard Branson, that he was such an easy guy to work with. He lets you do your thing. He's not a micromanager, and everybody loved working for him. So, I read somewhere once, and I'm a big believer in this, that that leaders are not bosses. Leaders are those that create other leaders. They're mentors.
Cool. Oh yeah, that's a good one. Right. I like that.
Yeah, I like that too. I hope I can be like that too. So going to Snapchat, and I was just talking about this yesterday to one of our digital marketing partners, that I feel so bad for Snapchat, because Instagram really kind of stole the show from them and made it better. And I feel bad, because Snapchat was innovative. Instagram was not, you know?
Yeah. And I tend to choose the one who's like, tend to be innovative. Like the day that I quit Snapchat, or the day I started like, okay, I'm going to switch like platforms, mm-hmm. was when I knew that Instagram was like picking up again.
Ah, really?
But then like LinkedIn messaged me and said, hey String, I love your content. Would you like to be a beta user for like LinkedIn? I'm like, then I saw this like overwhelming opportunity just to be innovating on a different platform. Right. And I did, because I was able to like leverage from LinkedIn and like build up my network, because I realized my content was a lot more B2B than B2C. Mm. So then I switched over.
Well, what do you feel? I mean, how do you feel about Snapchat, or rather, I should say, Snap Inc., because they have been really working on diversifying. They've been really pushing their spectacles quite a bit.
I feel like it's been too slow, but I always like imagine them like using the systems and networks and like technology to scan products and then use it as to get recognized with Amazon, for example. And it's like, hey, you could buy this item inside this thing. But that didn't happen that way. I think they just released this feature out just this week. And I think they're slow. So all I could say is like for like a technology company, they've been really slow and reiterating. And I think Instagram kind of shows that just because like, you know, you had something innovative, we're just going to duplicate it and do something better with it. So kind of feel like Snapchat's like momentum has slowed down dramatically because the user group hasn't done anything to grow beyond their millennial platform. And millennials are the most fickle people in the world.
Yes. I have noticed that. And it's difficult, it's difficult to market to millennials for that reason. And I think Snapchat, faced a capitalist challenge, right? Facebook is just very powerful and had the dollars to really invest into Instagram and have the user base already built into Facebook to help build it too. And Snapchat, I think, probably was underfunded for this competition. Maybe they look back and say, well, we should have sold to Facebook when we could. I don't know.
Well, if anything, they should have like opened it up. One of the things that I noticed is like it was really hard for content creators to monetize on that platform. And they're just like in the last couple of months, they just like started like talking to content creators. After 2 or 3 or 4 years or something like that, they started like having that conversation with content creators. Whereas Instagram has like a very strong relationship with its content creators.
Right. Yeah, I think that you make a really, really great point there, because you're only as good as your content creators. And if you don't invest in them, they go away and you really don't have anything, right? You have an app with nobody.
But then when you're probably like, as a content creator, we're like beholden to like all these social platforms. So we're like a bit like slaves on them. It's like we're driving all this traffic. But if you don't know how to control the traffic, you're like also losing money.
That's true. That's true. Well, Snapchat, in addition to their spectacles, and I don't know if you heard this in the news, but they added some technology that will allow the users to point their cameras at products and buy them on Amazon. So
yes, that was what I was talking about before.
What you're talking about. Oh, my fault. Sorry about that.
Not at all. That's why I said like they're super slow. I'm not using it anymore, so I can't say anything. I'm not an active Snapchat user anymore, even though I did well on that platform.
Yeah.
But if you can't monetize within like 6 months, is something that I'm like, yeah, I need to cut it off now.
Right. Yeah, no, I agree. And you know, there's so many options out there right now that I don't know how you feel. Even for us with Wagner Live, we were very careful with not trying to over broadcast to way too many platforms. Our real focus is Facebook Live and Periscope, and then for the live broadcast, and then we have our stuff up on our website as well as on YouTube and on Facebook, and that's pretty much where it ends. And then we do a small little version, our daily insights, that we push to the Amazon Echo as part of
listening digest.
Yeah, it's kind of like your daily whatever that comes in. I forgot right now, but yeah. So we have like kind of a daily insight that you get.
That's cool with Echo, but I'm surprised that you don't also create a smaller version for LinkedIn videos as well.
That's my next step. That's you know, we've been talking about doing something for LinkedIn next. So honestly, and I know this is kind of boring, but just technically speaking, for whatever reason, we've in the beginning we were uploading our videos and they were never finishing their upload, and I don't know if it's a bug that kind of went away, but that was our frustration in the beginning.
Okay, yeah, like LinkedIn video is still super beta. Like they don't give you like nuance data to allow you to know what the viewer retention is. They give you like the views is based on the first 3 seconds, which is like LinkedIn should be a learning platform, not a Facebook feed kind of experience. Right. And for the fact is, like, that's like one of my, like, you know, like, these are things that I care about because, yeah. you know, like, I focus more on retention than based on, like, because of that, I had to play these weird games just to optimize my content. Mm. So, you know, like the first, like
front loading stuff.
Yeah, well, front running stuff, dancing in the first 3 seconds so I could catch up people's attention.
Oh, you didn't dance for this live stream. What happened?
like, here you go.
Oh, okay. Yes. All right.
I'd do anything for attention.
Awesome.
But the thing is, like, you have to do that because the first 3 seconds is all about the feed. Mm-hmm. And then people comment on it, so it goes back onto the loop again. So if you don't have, like, people, like, commenting on a regular basis, it means it's going to get pushed out.
Right, right. Yeah, and I when you look at those analytics for what's happening in those first few seconds, those seem to be analytics that advertisers are interested in their pre-roll, right? Not so much for content creators.
Yeah, but the thing is, like, I treat my content as a channel, so, like, now that I have, like, these numbers, I do play and promote other products into my feed. It's like, these are the toolboxes that I help promote and stuff. Mm. So then people put, like, hey, these are, like, tools that help me grow my businesses, and you should, like, use these as well. So a lot of, like, CMOs will follow me, and a lot of entrepreneurs and growth hackers will follow me to see what kind of tools I've been using to grow my business.
Well, speaking of LinkedIn video, when will they open up live streaming? And number two, when can brands and companies push out video?
I think they already started, like, company pages is something that I'm, like, looking to a little lately, just because I want to know if that's going to be another platform. Because, like, you know, that's like a Facebook page kind of equivalent. And Facebook mm-hmm. and LinkedIn group has also been gone through an upgrade as well. Yeah. But I feel like company pages, like, I've already started pushing videos on there. But the only problem is it's, like, really hard to grow a following them at the moment. So people don't look at company pages to look for following content. They directly go to the expert or the person that they want to follow for content. So they're probably for you Wagner instead of, like, following Wagner live. Mm. Which is, like, that's, like, the limitation of LinkedIn right now.
Right.
Also, like, live, they haven't really pushed it out because they're still, like, figuring out the video for now.
Yeah.
When they should just acquire, like, a tool in the first place and integrate it. That's what I would have done properly. But they're starting from scratch.
Right.
They're literally starting from scratch.
Well, it makes sense what you're saying because, you know, I always say that people follow people, you know, people are interested, you know, for example, I mean, Wagner Live, for example, maybe if somebody else was hosting this, maybe it would do better, maybe it would do worse, who knows, because people connect with the individual and it's not just the brand, right? And so that makes a lot of sense because I have seen company pages on LinkedIn, I've seen activity, but not a lot of shares, not a lot of engagement activity. I mean, from the brand pushing out content, but not from people engaging with it.
And I think LinkedIn really does focus more on, like, advertisers at the moment, but, it's still a recruiting tool.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I think that's where it's key.
Yeah.
Well, I have one other bit of interesting news I wanted to throw in here before we wrap up for tonight or this morning. So Coca-Cola. I'm going to start the headline in this podcast is Coca-Cola and marijuana. So so Coca-Cola, of course, was known for having, you know, coca extracts, you know, or cocaine, if you will, in the beverage when it first started, hence the name Coca-Cola. Well, now they're doing studies and actually are looking to purchase a company that that deals in CBD, which is one of the ingredients in marijuana, which has been very popular lately as a relaxation and therapeutic ingredient that comes out of marijuana, but doesn't get you high, right? It has the benefits of relaxation and such, as opposed to the other ingredients that make you high. And so Coca-Cola is looking into that potentially being an ingredient in future beverages. How about that?
Well, like, sugar is already super addictive.
Right, right.
And but Coca-Cola wants to like make yourself like super addictive in terms of relaxation. Having sugar and having that, it's like super interesting. That kind of shows like the, if anything, I rather like pay interest to the green tsunami, which is the marijuana industry, than Coca-Cola itself. Because that's an indicator that even Coke is looking into the marijuana industry.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And because a lot of people, I think, in your generation, they are really against sugar and are not drinking these sugary drinks like sodas anymore. And Coca-Cola, for the first time in many years, I read that they saw a 20% drop in sales. So,
well, when I went to America, the first thing I noticed was like the amount of like low sugar drinks, flavored drinks. Mm. And then kind of shows the indicator that people still want the fizziness, but they want the flavor, but they don't want the sugar.
Yes.
So like it kind of shows like sugar is going, like it's going through the first time in history was like, oh, sugar is really bad for you.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Especially corn syrup sugar and, you know, processed sugar. And, you know, there's other countries like Mexico that use sugar from sugarcane in their Coke, you know.
Ooh. Yeah, sugar cane's good, but that's right? Also like lots of sugar. That's really good.
But, right. It's not as bad for you in one way, but it is also is a lot of sugar in another way. So, yeah.
Yes, yeah.
Just say no to sugar. Say no to sugar.
So your life will be happy. Go ahead.
Yes, you will. So, String, tell everybody a little bit about your website. I also believe that you were going to be offering a discount to the audience. So, I don't want to say too much. Let you take that away.
So, it's like, I guess, like in the last couple of months since I like started talking to you, I kind of released two new products or started my first startup, where it's focusing on like B2B influencers to scale their knowledge and monetize their knowledge with their community and content. So if you hear that and that's super interests you, you should probably hit me up on LinkedIn directly. It's like, I saw you about Wagner, about monetizing my knowledge and my creativity and my community. I'd love to talk. But for anyone who just wants to learn how to leverage LinkedIn video, I'm offering a $20 discount for anyone right from masteryourvideo.com. We have like the cool thing is like so how we're different from everyone else is that we offer live feedback from our mentors. So you're part of the community. There's full access to the content and the content updates itself. So it's more about like getting mentorship from like other video LinkedIn creators as well. So then that means like you could ask more like real time questions about how LinkedIn changes and how you could like find the best way to do video. So I hope like you could like you know do more videos, but I hope that you share your knowledge and your offering energy by doing awesome video content.
That's great. Well, thank you. Definitely take her up on that. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. There was something.
It froze a little bit.
Oh yeah. I noticed something funky happen. I don't know why. I think we're good now, right?
Oh, probably my internet. Yeah, we're good now. Did I get cut off? Well, no. So I did master your video. So there you go.
Oh, yeah, it said internet unstable, but you're coming in good now.
All right, thank you so much.
Well, so hey, listen, definitely take String up on that. Definitely look her up on LinkedIn. We're also going to provide you some information on the website how you can get in touch with her as well. So and that's our show for today. So thank you.
Thanks
very much. Thank you, String, for being here. Stand by for a little bit, and I'll talk to you a little bit after the show. So don't go anywhere yet. If you didn't catch the live show, you can try to catch it next Wednesday evening at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific. And but always, you know, you can always check us out on various podcast applications or the video replay, any favorite app that you use. And of course, on our website, which is Wagner.live. And until next time, this is Wagner.
You've been listening to Wagner Live.
Wagner is an advertising agency executive, and it's his passion to talk about business without the fluff and blowing smoke. Having owned and operated several different businesses since the age of 17, and with 20 years of experience in advertising and marketing,
may be just a tad bit qualified.
We hope you enjoyed the show. Catch him on social media at Wagner Live and hit the website at Wagner.live. We'll see you again next week.